All right, we're going to go ahead and get started again. For many of you, hopefully you're aware of the Travel Vertical podcast. It's become very popular, and you're going to be part of a live episode today, basically recreating this as part of the conference. Very exciting. It will be, what is talked about today will be used as a podcast sent out to the industry. So very exciting, very fun to witness it all happen in person. Excited to introduce our three participants and a couple of the heartbeats behind the regular Travel Vertical podcast. Lori Jo Miller Farr, who is the editor of the Travel Vertical and co-host of the podcast itself. Adam Stoker, president and CEO of Relic Agency and a co-host as well of the Travel Vertical podcast. And their guest today, Robert Patterson, senior vice president of marketing technology at MMGY Global. He's the guy that you want to make happy by doing the survey. Robert is one of those techie, super techie, smart guys who loves to collect the insights. So do the survey for Robert. Over to you guys. Excited to hear the podcast.
Thank you so much. You're in it, everybody. If you were here yesterday, we did our first ever live podcast for the Travel Vertical. And this is the second. So after the third, everybody's going to start listening, right?
We're veterans now of these live podcast episodes, Laura. Yeah.
Well, the Travel Vertical is a newsletter. It's free, everybody. And all you have to do is send me your news. And that includes people and places and things that are going on. We have job listings that just roll out every single week, lots of new ones all the time. But it's all curated, and it's meant to save you time, and it's meant to be interesting read. So that's part of the e-tourism community. And as part of that, one of the things we wanted to bring to you today is our guest Robert here from MMGY Global to talk about another thing that's part of the e-tourism community. That's a great service on this survey that they do. And if you haven't filled it out yet, he's going to let you know what to do to get involved. But also, we've got preliminary results, and we're going to be talking about those.
Robert, thanks for joining us today. We're excited to have you on.
Oh, well, thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So give us for those maybe the few that haven't seen this survey that comes out annually, give us the rundown. What is it and what's the purpose of it? And maybe we'll just go from there.
Yeah, you know, it really came out of just the idea of that we have so much great consumer data, and you know, MMGY, we're really known for a lot of the research and tip of the spear work we do within that realm. And one thing we didn't really have was a great kind of pulse of the industry of what was going on in terms of outlooks and consolidation of all the peer insight in terms of you know, how are people looking at their website and their own media channels, email? How are they looking at emerging technologies? Where is the industry, you know, bullish and bearish? And so for us, it was really, you know, we've been doing the survey for 4 years now, and we provide all of the research and insights for free to the industry as a service to everyone, and really appreciate everybody who takes the time to fill out the survey every year. And then, as you said, we're going to be sharing some initial results today. We will be closing the survey tomorrow night, so I hope sharing some of these initial results aren't going to skew anybody who hasn't taken the survey yet. But yeah, it's just really great to kind of, you know, to put some topical questions in there. We found some really great insights last year related to how the pandemic affected people's outlook on those owned channels and how they were going to look at investing in those channels. And so just really looking forward to kind of sharing this year's data with everyone.
Great. And how many respondents do you normally get to this survey?
Last year we had 175. I think right now we're around 150, and we're hoping to kind of reach that same
with another
200.
Yeah, everybody.
100 people here tonight if you haven't filled it out.
Please do.
So the more the merrier, and it's all about technology, isn't it? It's not just about random things that DMOs want to do. It's specifically on the technology side.
It is absolutely focused on the marketing technology and what's emerging and how we're thinking about the application of technology in terms of promoting and engaging with consumers and getting them to consider and travel to our destinations.
Well, where do you want to start with some of these results? I saw that there was one thing that stood out to me, which was a change in what people are doing with their website and where they're spending money. That's a change compared to last year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, where I really want to first start off was, like, we asked, you know, one of the things that we've been talking a lot of the conferences, right, is about representation and understanding that, you know, we are a little bit lagging. And so we really wanted to dive into kind of how representative do we think our website experiences are? So we had questions this year related to representation for different groups, and it was really telling. The initial results for us show that 71% of the respondents are reporting that they're either extremely underrepresented or slightly underrepresenting travelers with disabilities. And so that one had the largest amount of people who said that we're extremely underrepresenting those communities in how we're presenting travel experiences on the website. And I think that's pretty fair. And then we saw also, equally 71% of respondents also said LGBTQ plus underrepresentation is kind of a problem, right? So one of the things I want to get to, and one of the things I think is good about this conference and others, is that we can identify the issues, but now we need to really put solutions in place and start thinking through what we can do to kind of make an impact there. And I think we're thinking a lot of that now in kind of the paid media and the exposure that we're putting out there in those channels. But from own channels, I think we really need to also be very considerate about how we're approaching that as well. We also found that 62% of the respondents believe that they were underrepresenting Hispanic and Latino travelers, and 56% of respondents said that they were underrepresenting Black travelers. And so I think all those groups, obviously, we have a lot of room for improvement to focus on. So a takeaway for me out of the survey is hopefully that people will now see this data. It's quantified. We can now measure kind of where we're at, and we will be benchmarking this data point for future surveys so that we can kind of see the progression of the industry and see how well we're self-reporting our own representation.
So were the questions related to representation, were they new this year, or is this something that you've had for the last couple of years?
Yeah, this is brand new. So we don't have any year-over-year analysis, and that's what I want to get to into next year. So that is also a guiding principle for us in terms of how we're self-reporting that, our progress in those areas.
So this is our starting point. We'll measure against it.
Yeah.
Great.
You got to know where you start from, right, to get to where you want to go.
Perfect.
What else did you ask in this survey?
Oh, boy, let me see. I'm just, we did see some dramatic changes from the previous survey. So last year, 41% of respondents said that they'd be investing more in their website. And we did see a lot of that coming out of the pandemic, where everybody was leaning into their own channels and trying to make sure that they are, they're really focused there, because that's, everyone's pulling back on paid media. And this year, only 8% of respondents said they're going to be investing more the next 12 months. So it seemed like there was a big, heavy investment last year, a little bit of pullback this year as people are, re-engaging in other channels that we've used to reach those travelers.
Also, perhaps they got the job done during
exactly.
COVID. Yeah.
Especially with some of the unique funding sources that came out and things like that would make sense.
Yeah, and then something that remained consistent year over year was the actual satisfaction that destinations are having with both their website and their email. So they stayed pretty consistent year over year for the last 3 years in terms of that level of satisfaction.
So that's where I found it interesting, because that level of satisfaction was there, but then we get to a question a little bit later where you're like, hold on, I'm not sure I agree with some of the responses here. And I think that correlates the level of satisfaction with some of the questions you had about the results. I'd love to get to those, because I think it's a great discussion point.
Yeah, certainly. So, one of the things that we asked this year, which was also a new question, which is, what do you consider the primary focus of your organization's website? And so we asked, do you consider it to be, to inspire, to engage, to convince, and convert? And 52% of the respondents said that it was to inspire, 24% said to engage, 10% to convince, and 13% to convert. And, I think I want to challenge that industry thinking, because, before people come to your website, they've already been inspired to be, to have that qualified lead to come into your website. The website certainly is a full funnel approach, and people use the website throughout their travel planning process. But there are better vehicles to look at for inspiration: public relations, social media, experiential activations, those type of things. And so while convince was the lowest area, to me, that's where we really need to focus on. I mean, Derek was mentioning this morning during the session that, people are shopping multiple destinations, right? So we also know that consumers are typically spending 2 minutes and going to two pages of your destination's website. So I've said this before, but, we have a very finite amount of time to capture the hearts and minds of these travelers. And so for me, it's really, and what we try to do with our clients is, we need to convince people why this is the right destination, right? People are coming, they have an idea of what kind of experience they want to have, then they're kind of figuring out where they want to go, and then they figure out where they want to stay, right? So for us, I think we need to flip our thinking a little bit as as an industry to talk about convincing people why they need to come to your destination, why you match up with their lifestyle and what they're really looking to get for from that experience.
Yeah, when you think about the marketing funnel, it's awareness, consideration, and purchase. And there's a dozen different variations of that, but that's the general consensus of a marketing funnel. Awareness has already happened if they're at your website. And so to inspire, you're right, we're looking at it at the wrong stage of the funnel in a lot of cases. And for 52% of us to look at our website as inspiration, there's a shift that needs to happen there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a broad net. You know, I think we want to inspire throughout the funnel process, right? Like we want people that once they book to feel inspired, right? We always want to carry that through. But I do think that's convincing people is really the key to generating incremental growth in your destinations. Similarly, we asked, you know, the same question related to email about what was your primary focus. 27% said inspire, 53% said engage, 12% said convince, and then 8% said convert. Again, I think this is a little bit flipped. You know, we do see, we love email. We're very, very bullish on email. We think that it's an underutilized channel. I've said this probably the last 3 years I've been on this stage. Whitney was my colleague of mine was early at the conference talking about automation, and that's really interesting and kind of growth areas. But we see email convert. Typically, you know, it's either the first or second conversion vehicle for destination websites behind Google pay-per-click advertising. So we know, like, that's, again, a reason where, you know, people are coming in, they've raised their hand, they've connected with you, they want to stay engaged with you. So we say, you know, we've already got them engaged, right? And we're saying that that's what we want them to do. Well, we've got them engaged. We really need to convert them now, right? And get them to convince that, you know, they have picked the right destination. And, you know, we've nurtured them to that point where they've welcomed us into their inbox. Now we want to welcome them into the destination.
Did you find any surprises in the results?
Oh boy, let's see. Yeah, we definitely had some surprises. I mean, that one was probably a big one. The other one I would say was there was kind of a flip from last year in terms, and I, this is a data point I'm very excited about for the industry. Last year we asked how many of the destinations were using automation to deliver email messaging. And last year, 40% of respondents said they were, and 60% said they weren't. And this year that has flipped. We're seeing 60% are saying that they have, and 40% have said they have not yet. And so I think that also lends to what we saw in last year's data and kind of that investment and that resurgence of a focus on the owned media. And so that's a great sign that the industry is kind of like pivoted to where the need was and it really addressed that as an opportunity.
I like that. I'm stuck a little bit, sorry, on the previous discussion that we were having around website and email, because the percentage of respondents that said that they were really satisfied with their website and email, but were looking at it as inspiration, it makes me wonder if an action item here is let's go back and let's look at our website and our email program and see if it's the whole program has been designed around inspiration versus conversion, and do we need to change some of the things that we're doing in our strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are channels that, you know, unfortunately, at times people kind of rest on it, right? Or they kind of set it and they kind of forget about it. But, you know, the constant curation and optimization and kind of looking at that. I mean, the great thing is that we get instant results around that, right? There's no latency in terms of getting the input and the data around how people are engaging with or without the content. So it's something that we can make actionable immediately.
Great. What's your favorite question that you ask in the survey?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I think it's typically the last question we ask, which we've asked historically for the last 4 years, which is if budget, resources, and the ability to implement a technology were not a hurdle, what would you adopt? And that's when we also saw some pretty interesting flips. So last year, AR, augmented reality, chatbot, and consumer data platform were the top three choices. And this year, it's really flipped quite considerably, where website personalization has been number one so far. Metaverse VR, VR was last year, and accessibility software were the top three. And at the bottom, which I found this very fascinating, the bottom was mobile application, text messaging, messaging and chatbot. Yeah, we all know the importance of mobile marketing. And so it was very interesting to me that that was really, you know, was really down at the bottom. And this is kind of a pie in the sky question of like, you know, if you could do anything, what would you do? And budget wasn't an issue and all those kind of things. You know, and one of the reasons I think that we saw personalization at the top was I believe that there was, you know, a lot of pullback and cost saving measures that were taken during the pandemic. So I think a lot of destinations are using personalization, had to remove that during that period of time, and are looking to now re-add that to the mix.
We're going for the warm and fuzzy, it sounds like, because, you know, chatbot isn't necessarily warm and fuzzy. We're looking more at personalization, although SMS text messaging wasn't that popular, was it?
No, that was at the bottom. And to me, I think that also represents a significant opportunity for our industry. And, you know, one of the things that we're talking a lot about, and, I know Douglas was here talking with Truomni about kind of how do we bridge that digital divide from like the pre-arrival where we have web, email, social, all the great digital channels. And how do we continue to nurture that experience once people get in market? And we know the web application thing makes sense to me, you know. You build an app, it's a lot. You got to manage two ecosystems. You've got to put paid support behind it to grow the audience. So I understand that. But text messaging, to me, everybody texts. Everybody has it in their pocket. That is like a rising, you know, that's what, you know, the youthful generations and how they want to communicate. To me, so that represents a significant opportunity. And maybe I would challenge the industry's thinking around that as a vehicle as well.
Okay. You've mentioned owned media channels a couple times. This may surprise a lot of people in this room, but I have a slight interest in podcasts. Was there a question centered around podcasts?
Yeah, we did ask. So we did include podcast as one of the selections in that question related to what kind of technology would you like to adopt. It was very interesting. 18% of DMOs reported that they are currently investing in podcasts. And then 15% stated that if they could, they would like to enter in that space.
Very interesting.
Why haven't they already, did they say?
That wasn't like a follow-up question that we had asked, so that'd be very interesting.
There was something in there, though, about they wanted to know about cost and resources, and they felt that if they knew more, perhaps, about what it took to get involved in a podcast.
I mean, cost is always a consideration, right? And anytime you're entering into a new marketing vehicle, like that's an uncertainty, right? So I think that there needs to be probably more education and more mm-hmm. exposure about what it takes. And you know, I think we heard some from the stage yesterday, you know, like or the last couple of days, that how easy it is to start out, and you don't have to start out with very expensive equipment, right, to get going, and to make that happen. Or you can, you know, partner with agencies or other providers to make that happen. So you know, if that is an area of your interest, you know, certainly, you know, explore that further, I would say.
Very good.
I love that you guys do this survey because it gives you a lot of questions that you need to go deeper on, right? Like you guys aren't bringing in the focus group and saying, okay, why did you answer this way? But what we should be doing is looking at this data and asking those questions in our own destination and doing a little bit of interpretation and analysis on our own. And it gives us a great place to start.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know Jason mentioned it this morning related to the survey and their participation last year and kind of that the fact that we saw, you know, user experience consistently over the last 4 years has been the one area that everybody wishes they could improve upon their website. Well, we know that now, like what steps are being taken? What are you doing? How are you making that actionable? And that's really what we want to have come out of this is that people take the insights, they think about their own destinations, how they're implementing the solutions that they want and what ways they can affect and impact and make adjustments to make sure that it's optimized for their needs.
Terrific. Well, let's find out if there are any questions from the audience about the survey. Anybody here who took the survey or who took it perhaps while you were listening that has a comment on the results so far? We forgot to plant a question in the audience.
Well, I have a thought or comment along the convince, inspire realm for a website. And Robert and Lori, Joe, love to hear your thoughts. I feel like DMOs, if I may, like to live in that space of inspiration too often because it can be easy.
It's dreamy.
Yes. So when you talk about convincing, how do you measure it? How do you, because time on site and website visits, I think that's, again, just consuming content. It's just easy to say, well, we're here to inspire. We're creating great content. When you start moving to that convince phase, I think there are more difficult conversations around how you're measuring it and how you prove that you're having success there. So I don't know. I think it's a very noteworthy comment by you. And I don't know if you have anything else to expand upon kind of that maybe easy place to be, which is inspiration.
Well, I think, you know, convincing people isn't flipping a switch, right? It takes a little time. And so I think that's really being thoughtful about, you know, the audiences and the personas that you're trying to attract to your destination, what kind of, you know, content you're putting in front of them, how are you nurturing their user journey, what are those touch points that you want to have them have, which speak to both engagement and convincing, right? Is it viewing video assets? Is it signing up for an email? Is it, accessing 360 videos or clicking on a Bandwango kind of, experience economy solution. So I think those are all the indicators, right? And as we think about kind of scoring the consumer as they're going through the website, we treat everybody kind of the same, which is another big challenge. And it's something that I think over time will change with the adoption of technologies like consumer data platforms and DXPs and those kind of things. We just don't have a lot of purview right now when we're just relying on Google Analytics. And it takes a lot of digging around and you're making a lot of assumptions, right? So I think it's about really tracking those multi-touch points through that experience. The other real challenge that we see with a lot of destination websites, that we monitor and benchmark, is that, 80% of the visits to the website are from new sessions and new users, and only 20% return. So if they're only spending 2 minutes and going to 2 pages, and they're not coming back, how engaged are they? Did they get enough out of your website? Maybe they did get enough out of your website and they're ready to move on to the booking process. I would doubt that a little bit. I think that they need a little bit more nurturing. So we have to make sure that we're providing a really rich value proposition and really being a resource and convincing them why we, what is that relationship we're building with the traveler, right? We don't want, we want to carry that through. We want them to come back again. We maybe want them to move to the destinations. We want them to maybe start businesses in the destination. So we have to really start thinking through those touch points and how we carry that entirely through and treat people like people and less like a data point or an anonymous, 15-string digit profile.
So well said. And I think that tailors right into the SMS conversation as well. Right, not just looking at a website user or a potential customer as that one-time visit. SMS is going to allow you to build that relationship over time, a lot like email. So again, to kind of piggyback on something else you said earlier.
Yeah, and I think SMS too is something that like people need you for a specific period of time, right? What solution are you providing? Like that may not be the relationship vehicle that you're going to have with them forever. Email probably could be. SMS is going to be a specific time. They're in market or they need information. You're going to be a lifeline to them to give them what they need in that moment. And then there's a time where you need to go away and fade to the background because they're not needing you at that time.
Mind you, we're all doing very, very well indeed. The first e-tourism summit was in the year 2000. And Mark Zuckerberg was a sophomore in high school. And, as we moved through these e-tourism summits annually, we had questions like, what's Google? And then there was the year that the guy came from Twitter to tell us what Twitter was. And, we're evolving. So let's not beat ourselves up too much. Let's keep answering the survey questions so we can move the industry along and become more and more digitally savvy as we go, thanks to MMGY and Robert.
Yeah, I love the benchmarking that you're making available so that we can track our progress as an industry every year. And I think that the more people we can get responding to the survey on the front end will be great. And then the results on the back end, in my mind, are very actionable for us to take back to the individual destination.
Mm-hmm. That is our hope. And so we definitely thank you guys for the time today. And thank you all for taking the survey, really contributing to helping to inform your peers.
Cheers to the survey. Robert. Thank you, Robert. We're done here.
Now, the one thing I'd add is please make sure that you subscribe to the Travel Vertical podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure that if you have questions about the news in the industry that you check out thetravelvertical.com, which Lori does an incredible job of updating every week.
That's me. I'm Lori at thetravelvertical.com. Thank you.
Thank you.